Hearts, home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Tuesday. Thank you for joining us. We're tuning into God's frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. We're going to get some words from him today. We are in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 9. This sermon is entitled The Conversion of Saul. You know, it's good to be back in town. My wife and I have been out at the Keys all last week and back in town here. And we're going to hear the sermon from Pastor Darren Solana, which he preached the other day in our absence here, in my absence, though we were there for the service. And it was an excellent sermon. You're going to hear that coming up here at the end of this week, but Tuesday and Wednesday for this sermon, Thursday and Friday for Pastor Darren's sermon. We're going through the book of Acts at church every Sunday morning. You're invited for one of our services, and we're in Acts chapter 9. This sermon, The Conversion of Saul. Saul was public enemy number one, the greatest threat to the Church of Jesus Christ ever. From one person was Saul, whose later name, the Lord would change his name to Paul. So that's where we're at here today. This will play today, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I will be in Titus this Wednesday night. We're going through that book verse by verse. We left off in chapter 1. We'll be picking it up right there in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, Wednesday night, 6 to 7. Sunday morning, I'll be back in Acts, either the end of chapter 9 or chapter 10. Those are some of the things coming on here at Island Community Church. If you're new to the area or if you are looking for a new church home, I invite you guys to attend one of our services. We'd love to see you. Okay, let's follow now the dramatic conversion of Saul. We're up to Acts chapter 9 this morning in our series here through the book of Acts. Here today, just like the picture, we're looking at the conversion of Saul here today. Saul of Tarsus, a.k.a. Paul the Apostle. Now, sometimes in life, you know, conversions are indeed, they're dramatic, like the one we're going to see here today. Other times, some conversions just have little fanfare at all, if any. A lot of baptisms are that way, too. Sometimes they're very something you always remember. Great things happen. Sometimes they're uneventful. Now, as for Paul, if you remember, he was terrorizing the countryside like the Frankenstein monster. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, it says, as for Saul, he wreaked havoc on the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. I can hear it now, right? Any Christians? Any Christians? Any Christians? It's just like your kids. Are we there yet? 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 Here's any Christians? Any Christians? Any Christians? Any Christians? Any Christians in here? This is the hero of the Christian faith. Public enemy number one, Saul. And like Pastor Darren told me last week, not only did they need to send Peter and John to the Samaritans because no one would believe that God would include them in the faith, this guy Saul needed to be vetted as well because no one would believe that he was a Christian either because he was public enemy number one. Now let's pick it up here, Acts chapter 9, starting from the top. Are we rolling back there, Danny? Excellent. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder, or some translations say, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So this was the early name for Christianity, the way. Naturally taken from John 14:6, right? I am the way, the truth, the life. So it looked like Christianity was a high crime against Judaism. And apparently the leaders in this Jewish religion had the authority to cross state lines and search for anyone and everyone who called themselves a Christ follower or anyone who was a member of the way. This guy went house to house to house, like Nazis looking for Jews. Paul's like the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU, all rolled into one. Christianity will not be tolerated on a state level or any level, as far as they looked at it. You know, politicians or Pharisees are just like politicians, aren't they? They both conspire to punish Christians. Now, back to Saul. He's traveling now to Damascus in Syria, and he's trying to find some Christians so that he could punish them, have them sent to prison, or even worse, to be killed. So remember, the hero of the Christian faith is public enemy number one. So don't ever give up hope of praying for a loved one or a family member. Look, if God can do this with public enemy number one, he can do this with the person that's on your heart as well. I've said it a million times in here. I'll make it a million and one. They used to say about me that this guy's going to need an asbestos suit where he's going. Because thank God they never gave up on me. If God can convert and save public enemy number one, then don't stop giving up praying for whoever it is that's on your heart as well. Don't give up. Now let's watch the Son of God get a hold on Paul. Now ponder this thought as we go forward here. In order to appreciate Saul's emotions at the time, it is necessary to remember that Saul was convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was dead and buried in a Judean grave. And since the leader of the way had been destroyed, all that was now was necessary was to destroy his followers. Then the earth would be free of this scourge, all these Christian blasphemers worshiping someone who they said was the Son of God. See, Paul was obsessed with killing Christians. And he thought, kill the followers and you end Christianity. I mean, the leader's already dead. As far as Paul knows, Jesus is dead. I mean, he died a few weeks back. They were present at his funeral. So now, all I got to do is kill the followers and Christianity. Kill the followers and Christianity. The leader's dead. Let's just kill the followers and we'll put an end to this scourge known as Christians, followers of the way. Verse 3, now as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he answered and said, who are you, Lord? Funny, I mean, I wish we could learn the attitude there. Is it, who are you, Lord?
or did his knees knock and say, "Who are you, Lord? We really can't tell here." I think it was more of a knee-knocking response, right? I think a little of the arrogance might be starting to come out of Saul here. I call him Saul Wiedemeyer in his early days. He's not Paul yet. Still Saul. So as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone around him, saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Interesting, isn't it, that as the Lord sees it, persecuting Christians is persecuting him. As far as he's concerned, it's the same thing. He says it twice to him here, verses 4 and 5. First, he asks Saul the question, "Why are you persecuting me?" Then in verse 5, he flat out tells him, "I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting." That word "you" is emphatic. It's at the beginning of the sentence, meaning out comes the finger. "I am Jesus," or "ego eimi Iesus," the one whom you are persecuting. And you. No. Out comes the finger here. This is very emphatic. The same holds true for you today as well, church family. That is, when someone persecutes you, they are ultimately persecuting him. When people attack you as a Christian, they're attacking him. Saul also learned that day, when he had been persecuting the disciples of Jesus, he had been persecuting the Lord Jesus himself. Pain inflicted on the members of the body on earth is felt by the head of that body up in heaven. And as we can see, he doesn't take too kindly for that. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Then he told them, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, a goad was a sharp spike that would stick in an ox or a cattle if it tried to go in the opposite direction. And the stubborn animal would persist in its stubbornness and just keep on injuring itself. Does that remind you of anybody that you know? Certainly not you, but a friend. Maybe just your husband, you know. I sure wish Les and Delilah were here to hear that. I'd be have to silence in them in the back row now. I hear it now. Every time I talk about stubborn, she goes into this hysterical laughter and starts looking at her husband. All right. If you're watching, you're laughing at home, aren't you? Aren't you tired of those marks on the back of your neck? God says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And you try to resist and stubbornly try to go in your own direction instead of walking in obedience. And each time you resist, the spike jabs you. The spike jabs you and jabs you and jabs you. Do you know any stubborn people like that? Wish I had a pin. Pin. Do you know any stubborn people like that? Everyone's awake now. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy." That's E-A-S-Y, in case you forgot how to spell that. The yoke, the same thing that got a cattle or an ox in trouble, Jesus says it's easy. See, he's pulling the load. All you got to do, he says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Let him lead you. It's easy, he says. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You just need to go in the direction that he's going. Walk with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God translated him. That's where Gene Roddenberry got Beam Me Up Scotty from. It means to be transferred, translated from one place to another. Just like last week, Philip the Evangelist, remember? When it says he was translated from one place to another, 30 miles away, same idea, this word rapture. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, God is going to whoosh, up we go, out we go out of this evil world. Walk with God. You just need to be going in the direction that he is going. Are you doing that? Are you going in the direction that the Lord's leading you? If not, you see, that's when you get the spike in the back of your neck. And the bad news is for you today is that God is long-suffering. long-suffering, and that is he's not in any hurry. Sorry. He waits for us to keep on trying to rebel, go in the other direction, and you keep on getting the spike in the back of your neck. Like the people that keep getting shots for insulin, the diabetics. You know, they got all of these spots on their legs from keep taking the shots over and 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 over again. My yoke is easy, he says, and my burden is light. Walk with Jesus. That's all you got to do. You love what God loves. You walk with Jesus by going in the direction he's going. He's heading towards heaven, and he's taking as many people with him as he can. And you are his hands and feet. I want you, is what he says. That's the direction he's going. And that's where he's going to be looking when he comes back again as well. Now, back to Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. All right, so Jesus is saying that Paul's refusal to believe was stubborn rebellion. You see, now I see that he has been made aware of this a long time ago. He's been stubborn too, same as I have for all these years. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, meaning he has showcased Jesus to him for a long time, but he's been stubborn. He's got no excuse. Paul's refusal to believe was stubborn rebellion. That's where all of his troubles were coming from. For that matter, that's where many of your troubles emanate from as well. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Question, are you guys and gals and people watching, are you tired yet of the spike that's stuck in your back, the back of your neck? Sooner or later, it would just break the will of the animal and they would just walk in unison. He says, my yoke is easy. Look, how difficult is it for you guys to love what God loves? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love God. You hate sin. You try to do the right thing. Let God use you to be a light in a dark and an evil world. My yoke is easy, he says. My burden is light. L-I-G-H-T. Light. It's not difficult. Verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, now you see a man who's not going to kick against the goads now. Now he finally says what took me too many years to remember to make this statement. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many years did it take you guys to get here? Are you there? All right, Lord, All right, Lord, I'm done running. I quit rebelling against you. Every time I do that, I fail. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of going against the wind. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? So the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him, they stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Wow. So here's Saul, the great persecutor of Christians. He's blind now, won't eat, won't drink. His whole life has been literally turned upside down by seeing Jesus face to face. And totally humbled. He can't even walk now. People have to lead him by the hand like a little child. What a fall. We could call Saul now Humpty Dumpty. Had a great fall. And even all the king's horses can't even put him back together again. He's blind. He's at the absolute end of his rope. He's in total shock. Imagine that. Jesus is real. I was at his funeral. And here he is in the sky. Jesus is real. He's alive. And now he's just learned that he's been fighting against God now. Wow. How that must have felt, huh? You weren't just fighting against people. You were fighting against God. So, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, verse 10. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus whose name was Ananias. And he said to the Lord in a vision, and I'm sorry, to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. Now, Straight Street is still there to this day. In a vision, Jesus goes on. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord. Okay, Ananias is now saying, let me help you a little bit here, Lord. Let me clue you in that Paul is public enemy number one, just in case you didn't see it. Here comes now the, Lord, let me help you understand a little bit, Jesus. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, as if Jesus didn't know this. I mean, you got a vision of God from heaven, and you say, well, let me help you understand a little bit here. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he's got the authority from the chief priests to bind on everyone who calls on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, there's someone I would say whose burden wasn't light and his yoke maybe was not easy for him. Verse 17, and so Ananias went his way. He entered the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once, and he arose, and he was baptized. I would say just like everyone else in the New Testament. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now, Pastor Darren laid this brilliant comment on me this last week regarding this. Let me paraphrase. Once these scales fell off of his eyes, he never did fully recover from this blindness. He told the Galatians, I bear you witness, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes for me and given them to me. That's Galatians 4:15. This probably was a constant reminder for him of the day that he met the Savior face to face. This word for scales is the Greek word lepis. It means to peel like a sunburn. So I was thinking sunburn, S-O-N, sunburn. You know, kind of like a welder burning his eyes, right? By a bright light. I mean, he sent me the link. These welders, they can burn their eyes. They can get sunburned on their eyes. Paul had sunburned eyes here. And once Ananias lays hands on him, something like peels came off. Like, whoop. Last time I had sunburn, my wife peeled me like a snake. Went from the top of my foot all the way up here. She had like one sheet like you could have wrapped a side of beef on. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like peels, scales. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Okay, Saul's a Christian now. Verse 20, watch out now how fast the gospel's going to spread and that all things will work together for good. God will take Paul's sin, same as he does with him, he does with you as well. He's going to take Paul's sin and turn it around for good and cause good to come out of something bad, because the Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. That's great news. God can take your greatest mistake and turn it around for good, because that's what he does. God is good, and he can take your mistakes, missteps, and sins and cause good to come out of it.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.